No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show with Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to talk about the Winnipeg Jets getting on the winning side of the ledger, a 3-0 victory over the Seattle Kraken tonight, led by the efforts of the birthday boy, Kyle Connor. A happy 25th birthday to him, led by the efforts of Connor Hellebuck, his first shutout of the year and his 25th shutout of his career, and led by the primary assist by number 25 of the Winnipeg Jets, Paul Stastny, on the Winnipeg Jets' first goal. I say good evening to you guys. How are you on this Thursday evening?
Doing well, yeah. I mean, very impressive win for the Jets. Almost kind of too impressive, right? In the sense of Seattle, you can kind of tell why they're last in their division, right? Like,
yeah, they've been playing better hockey, though, as of late. 5-2-1 in their last 8 games.
Sure. Yeah, fair enough. No, you're right, Drew. I mean, and they kind of have forced to play that well, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they're pretty much out of it. Like, I don't think any of us think this is, 2018-19, and they have a St. Louis Blues type of run in them, right?
So, no, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. Just, a very impressive road victory. And you mentioned the birthday boy, like that goal late in the third period. Like, wow, what an individual effort. Like, yeah, Mark Scheifele gets the puck to him. But I mean, you talk about, the moves and he had, I think it was Vince Dunn even tried, the sliding kind of stick check trying to get the puck from Connor. But just what a shot, what a game from Connor. And Connor, Scheifele, Wheeler obviously continue to play really well as a line. I mean, obviously, the first goal, nice, pass from Paul Stastny. We'll get into the goals, Dominic Toninato, and like nice to see him get his goal. But, one that Philip Grubauer would definitely like to have back. But, you definitely needed this win. And, talking about, the last game, it was just, completely dominated by the Carolina Hurricanes. Wasn't on the postgame show with you boys, but just a nice kind of clean win for the Jets. They deserved it. Connor Hellebuck was really solid. Obviously didn't have to make too many of those high danger saves, but this was just kind of, if you, were to draw this on a map, of how you would want to win a game on the road against the Kraken. I mean, the Jets just executed their game plan perfectly tonight.
Yeah, Dave, this wasn't the prettiest hockey game we've ever watched. The Jets improved to 13-9-4 on the season with the victory. There were certainly times in this game where the Jets were on their heels and the Kraken took it to them. Large chunks of the second period, I'd say the Kraken controlled the pace of play and controlled the flow of the game. To me, Dave, it was sort of reminiscent of a Jets victory from a couple years ago where they're opportunistic scoring-wise and they're reliant on Connor Hellebuck. And that's nothing to apologize for because you have a Vezina-winning goalie and he was certainly at his best tonight against the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, and the penalty kill came through. I mean, the Seattle doesn't have one of the better penalty kills. I think as you and I looked it up, I think they're 23rd in the NHL. But at the end of the day, a man advantage is a man advantage, and the Jets have turned a man advantage for the other team into a big disadvantage to themselves. So anytime you can keep a clean sheet in that regard, gives your group a little bit of confidence and makes you feel good about yourselves. So I think that's important, right? I mean, we've talked about this Jets team and their need to be better in that realm because, their power play, despite the way they looked on the five minute major against Carolina, their power play has been scoring. And then as you and I were talking about it, during the third period with this team, you generally don't worry. I mean, there's things that can improve for sure, but the reality is I think they were the 12th overall power play in the NHL coming into tonight's game. So they have a good power play, could be better. Sure. But the reality is it's decent. The penalty kill is the area that you really need to improve on because you can't be the 31st penalty kill in the NHL and think that you're a contender. It's just not good enough. Again, you don't have to be a top five, even a top 10, but you have to be in that top 15 range. So, and that's going to be hard for Winnipeg based on the hole they've dug themselves, But nights like tonight will help dig them out of that and get them feeling good about it. And we'll see. We'll see if it continues to roll. And, you know, Neil Pionk's suspension is officially over as of tonight. He obviously didn't make the road trip, so he won't play tomorrow in Vancouver. And, you know, they've got Ville Heinola, so we'll see if he's ready to make his season debut. But, look, at the end of the day, you won 3-0 against a team. And Seattle isn't a great team, and they didn't play a great game, but they had been playing before the loss to Pittsburgh previously in their previous game. They've been playing some good hockey. And so they've been putting some wins together, right? So you have to give the credit. Like I said, you have to beat these teams. If you know, if the Jets lose to Seattle, their hides are exploding right now. Instead, you win 3-0. Kyle Connor scores two phenomenal goals, his team leading 16th and 17th goals of the season. And as he said, that third goal was unfreaking believable. I mean, it was a gorgeous goal. And that's what you want. You want your guys feeling good, and you didn't overwork Connor Hellebuck, really. So, I mean, whether they go with him or Comrie, obviously a big question going into tomorrow's game. Comrie hasn't played a lot.
I think I'd be shocked if they go with Hellebuck again tomorrow.
No, I would too.
I'm with you, Drew. Yeah, I mean, you know, just quickly, I know we want to get into some of the goals here, but I just don't know what the reasoning would be. Like, yeah, it wasn't the busiest night for Hellebuck.
25 shots still.
Sure. I mean, it was busy enough, right? Like, let's not, diminish Hellebuck's shutout here. Like, he deserved that shutout. The defense deserved the shutout too. I agree with Dave. Like, going into the game, you're thinking, okay, you don't have Neil Pionk, especially in situations like penalty killing, right? And I do think that was a bigger takeaway maybe than, some of the nicer goals that you saw, was that the penalty kill was great. Like, the Seattle power play, going back, sorry, don't want to beat a dead horse here, but that was one of the worst power plays I've seen maybe since Pittsburgh's power play.
Did he say beat a dead horse or eat a dead horse?
No, I'm not Jay Riemerschmidt or Jay Riemerschmidt or whatever his name is from Seinfeld, Drew. But, I mean, look at, you're like Seattle – if you know what their identity is, I don't know what their identity is, because you've got a good collection of players there, but we kind of talked about it back in July. Well, that's the thing, Drew, like we talked about it. It's like, who is driving the bus here offensively? Like, you guys know, I really like Jaden Schwartz, good Saskatchewan boy. Like, Brandon Tanev is having a nice season there. Yanni Gourde, Jared McCann's a good player, but
like, they don't have any goal scorers. They don't have any finishing. They don't have the finishers. They don't have, they don't have a Kyle Connor. They don't have a Nikolai Ehlers. They don't have a Mark Scheifele. They're a team of, guys whose ceilings are probably passengers on a second line. That's just what their team is, largely. And I think you saw that tonight in a number of different occasions, because it's not like they didn't have opportunities in and around Connor Hellebuck. Connor Hellebuck had to be good, but it's not that Seattle at the same time was peppering him with what I would describe as grade A chances. A lot of the chances were in close, but without having that, without having the elite goal scorers, Connor Hellebuck was able to handle what Seattle was throwing his way. Not to take anything away from the shutout, because the shutout was impressive, and the Kraken had a fair, in the second period, they had four high danger chances at 5-on-5 to the Jets 0. But you could see it's the lack of finishing in tight that is really ailing their team so far. I mean, they've given up a boatload of goals as well. They've given up 93 goals against, which is, tied for, not quite dead last, but tied for, I guess, what place would that be? 31st in the NHL. The Habs are worst in 32nd spot. But, the Seattle team is an expansion team. I mean, this is what an expansion team is supposed to look like. Never mind what Vegas did, however many years ago that was, now 5 years ago or whatever. Seattle looked like a team with guys who can play, guys who can contribute, but guys who just don't have that elite finishing skill that teams really need to be upper echelon in the NHL.
Yeah, no, you nailed it. And, how many, big hits did we see? Like, this game was just kind of void of really any excitement. Like, aside from, the Jets goals, really, like, the three Jets goals were the most excitement in this game. And obviously, we're keying in on the Jets a little bit more. But you're right, Drew. I mean, I don't think many people thought that Seattle was going to pull off what Vegas pulled off in their first year going to the Stanley Cup final. Another guy that, you know, I didn't mention there is Jordan Eberle. He's having a great year with 12 goals, but that's what you expected when you selected Jordan Eberle from the Islanders, right? Like, you knew that. Same thing goes for Yanni Gourde, right? Like, these guys, it's not like they're playing poorly or they're not having good seasons. It's just like these guys are not superstars at this point in their careers. They're most likely second or third line guys, like yeah. Gourde was, for example, on Tampa Bay for the two cups, right? So, and yeah, I go back to, you know, the first goal by Toninato, like, you know, a good quick release, but, you know, Grubauer's got to have that. I mean, come on, guys. Like, I don't think anybody's going to look at that goal and want to put it on the highlight reel. I mean, that's just a goal that from that distance you probably have to have.
You know, it's a great play by Paul Stastny. He forces the turnover, and then it's always the guy who's the trailer on the play who's the most dangerous. You know, so Toninato in this instance, I mean, he's coming off of the bench. It's a line change. Yep. So it's sort of a mixed up line there, Dave, in that you have Stastny still on, Toninato hitting the ice at the... I got it right eventually.
Just kidding.
As part of the line change, and nobody accounts for him on Seattle. And to Ezzie's point, I don't disagree with him that it's probably one that Grubauer wants back. But it's still, you know, it's on a stick and off a stick, Dave, in a pretty quick manner. And it's Paul Stastny finding the unmarked Toninato and him succeeding. And it's always nice when a guy like Toninato, who's really sort of found a niche for the Winnipeg Jets, you know, that's his third of the year. He played a little over 10 and a half or just under 10 and a half minutes tonight, 10:29, when you consider that he's also now become a bit of a fixture on the Jets penalty kill, which is clearly now a juggernaut after today's 5-for-5 success rate.
Yeah, look, you're always going to need role players to score. You don't look, if you're happy when Kyle Connor is scoring two goals a game, Nikolaj Ehlers, Mark Scheifele, maybe Blake Wheeler eventually. So the reality is you're always going to want your big production guys are going to be your big production guys. But when you can get something like that out of a Toninato or a Vesalainen or a Harkins, you know, like that sort of thing, if you're getting those guys producing, that's good for your team, obviously. And, you know, once again, I want to call attention to Paul Stastny's, you know, forecheck. I mean, he just is such a smart player. He does it again, you know, where he gets it on the puck and then he knows where to put that puck. I mean, that's the beauty of Paul Stastny. He really is. I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, Seattle's defense was questionable. I mean, look at the second goal. Kyle Connor is left wide open. How there's three guys there and Kyle Connor is left to his own devices. So Mark Scheifele finds him and Kyle Connor puts it into the back of the net. So, I mean, you know, Seattle's defense wasn't great tonight by any stretch of the imagination, but
leave Kyle Connor all alone in the slot as it was in the pre-scout.
I was going to say that would definitely be your number one, two and three things on the pre-scout right now with the way he's playing goals, you know, 16 and 17 on the season. But look, at the end of the day, what you need as a team, and we've talked about this hockey is a team game, right? I mean, you can have one guy who can dominate like a Connor McDavid, but ideally you have balance because eventually a guy like Connor McDavid, the exception of Connor McDavid, guys can get cold. You know, we see it with Ehlers, you see it with Connor, you can see it. So you need the role players to chip in. You need those guys. I mean, it's one thing we've talked about for a long time is that idea of using your third and fourth lines more frequently and giving them a little bit of a bigger role. And like in tomorrow's game, for example, against a fresh Canucks team, and we're not going to preview that game yet, but against a fresh Canucks team that is, you know, playing well with a new coach, you would think that tomorrow would be a perfect instance to give some balance because, you know, like I said, you've got a team that you just played tonight and you need to build momentum. I mean, it was funny because Ezzie and I were talking about it. Like, sure, the Jets could say, well, they've won three of the last four games, right? And they're feeling good about their game. And it moves them into a tie with Colorado and – is it Dallas right now with 30 points?
Yeah, I believe that is exactly, if I'm not mistaken, that's exactly how it is. It's so, after Minnesota, between after Minnesota and then before Chicago and Arizona, it's, I think, a 1 point separating St. Louis, Colorado, Winnipeg, right. Nashville, and Dallas.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's one of those really kind of unusual quirks of the way this is working, right? Minnesota looks like they're running away with it. I don't know how many people would have predicted that. And
not many.
not many as right as. And so the truth is, you've got a Jets team that at the end of the day, you picked up a 3-0 win against a team that, like I said, they weren't happy with their game against the Penguins last, but they played some decent hockey. So you take it, it's first ever win in Seattle. That's, you know, I mean, what an impressive building. It really is pretty spectacular just from the reports and, you know, watching some of the stuff. But so there's a lot of excitement. I mean, it wasn't the best hockey game, but I think I think you said it right, Drew. I mean, it's kind of what, or as he said it, sorry, it's what you expect when you're watching exhibition hockey.
Touche there, Mr. Minhook. Touche. We say good evening to everybody. You are watching and listening and chatting with the Illegal Curve post game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minhook, Ezra Ginsberg with you on this Thursday night. We do this after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. We'll do it after tomorrow night's game against the Vancouver Canucks, a game that is likely to be a little bit more heated as the Canucks have experienced the new coach bounce and really couldn't have been any worse than they've been playing. Yeah, the Bruce bump.
Just a quick note, it is going to be Eric Comrie. I just saw Marat tweeted that. So Eric Comrie will get the start tomorrow in Vancouver. Hashtag breaking news.
How's Marat getting that scoop right now?
He's not.
It's pretty early. Usually Paul Maurice doesn't say who's starting until, there's no secret here. Like,
I think he just puts it out there so that there's no question and there's no doubt. And it's the only decision you can make. It has to be an Eric Comrie game, in my opinion.
Drew, with the amount of games Hellebuck has played lately.
Yeah.
Comrie hasn't played a lot of hockey lately.
Comrie last played when? Did he last play, I guess, in the Minnesota game? He came in to mop up there.
Yep.
And that would be the last action he got. That's what, Black Friday. So that's, you know, almost
a couple weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Probably that's 2 weeks ago tomorrow. Yeah, 2 weeks ago tomorrow. So it'll be 2 weeks since his last game.
You were doing so much shopping, Drew, that you forgot when the game.
You know, it's you know how I am on Black Friday.
That credit card was. I bet that the magnetic stripe on that credit card was pretty much worn out after you were done with it.
And his last start. And his last start was the 19th in Vancouver.
That's right. The game that the Jets really should have won, but Thatcher Demko was certainly up to the challenge. So the Jets will be looking for a little revenge tomorrow night when they play the Vancouver Canucks. And the Jets do have a back-to-back coming up right after Christmas. I think it's right before Christmas. They have Nashville and Dallas, I believe, Tuesday, Wednesday, a back-to-back situation. So you're likely
a little Southern hospitality, Drew.
Well, I'm going to be in the South for those games. I'll be able to. I think, if I'm not mistaken, my in-laws get the Nashville Predators regional broadcast. So I think I'll be able to catch that game. They either get Columbus or get Nashville. I'm just happy
the Mandels are going back to Kentucky because it's been a while, right? Like, it hasn't happened since the pandemic started, if I'm not mistaken, right?
You are correct, since pre-COVID. Yeah. So I'll get some fried chicken into my system. I know everybody was worried about my caloric intake. In any event.
And for the record, people should be listening to Rob Somerville. Smash that like button, folks. Yeah. Come on.
Yes. Listen to Rob, folks.
There's a lot of you in the
chat.
Good
man, Rob.
People are excited. Anytime the Jets win, it should be an automatic. Like, you come in here, you slide in, you give us some likes. That's like giving IC some love. It's the same thing.
And we appreciate the love. There's no question about it. So, yes, smash the like button. If you haven't already done so, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast. That way, if you miss anything, you can get a copy of it as soon as it's available on iTunes, on Google Play, on Spotify, all those good downloading
Spotify
sources.
Spotify, no problems, anyone.
Yeah.
You got Dave Spotify fixed, back. Dave, I don't know how Spotify. I got it back. I blacked out, but I somehow got it back.
Attaboy, we appreciate that. You know what I thought about tonight's game? The penalty kill was obviously successful. Mm-hmm. 5 for 5, full marks for it. It also seemed to be more aggressive to me. Now, I don't know if that was an anomaly. I don't know if I was just my interpretation. I don't know if it was a function of playing against the Kraken team or a puck that was really bouncing all over the ice for a lot of tonight's contest. But it did seem like the Jets were more aggressive on the penalty kill and less passive than they have been really this season.
Did I not say that, Dave? I mean, you nailed it again, Drew. You know I love to disagree with you.
I know. It's upsetting to me when you don't disagree.
What makes the show so good?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was obvious, right? And obviously, you know, the Jets coaching staff is, you know, getting some of their cues from the Illegal Curve post-game show. Obviously, I'm joking here. But, I mean, look at Adam Lowry and Andrew
eating bagels on the bench?
Yeah, shout out to Bagel Smith. I mean, look at, I mean, we knew that this penalty kill is, they are still, Dave mentioned it, like, I think, you know, it's unfortunate. It's almost like you it would be nice to go to NHL.com and you'd like to see, you know, them rank the penalty kill in kind of five game increments, right? Because giving up
10 power you can do that, goals, right?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, you have to do a little work there to do that. But I'm
just
saying,
like, handed to him.
It's literally two buttons you have.
No, but I'm just saying, Drew, when people look at NHL.com, they usually just go right to the, you know, the how, what the penalty kill is.
I'm just busting. I'm just busting.
I know. You're doing a little ball breaking. That's exactly, all good. We like a little ball breaking here on Illegal Curve.
It's now after midnight, so it's now Illegal Curve after dark. So you never know where this show's going to go.
I mean, you know, you never know who's going to jump on. I mean, right. Jesse Pollock could jump on at any time, you know, in his new 7-Eleven commercial. You have no idea what's going to go on. It was awesome, by the way. Also, I don't know if you guys saw the bar down Jesse asking the Leafs fans what they thought of the Spezza 6-game suspension. If you haven't watched that, it's absolutely hilarious because I think a lot of Leafs fans were just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, he deserved it, which I thought was pretty funny. But no, I mean, like, this was a little bit of a sleepy game. And I saw a few of the comments talking about, you know, kind of the structure for the Jets, which, you know, was clearly, you know, evident in the Jets Hurricanes game that Dave was talking about. You know, I mean, the Hurricanes probably play the best structured game of any team, or they're right up there. Mm-hmm. And this Kraken team, you know, yeah, like, I don't think anybody expected this team to pull off, like we said, what Vegas did. But, like, when you're coming off a really disappointing loss like that at home to the Carolina Hurricanes, the Jets will take this, boys. Like, sure. It doesn't have to be beautiful, even though Connor's goal was beautiful, the second one. But, like, this is sometimes how you have to get those types of wins, especially in the first game of back-to-back. And you kind of saw that a little bit, you know, kind of that conserving energy. But going back to the penalty kill, Drew, I went on a bit of a tangent here, but I mean, you did see a little bit more of an aggressive penalty kill, but I strongly believe that, you know, if the Jets are able to stay healthy and put out the same personnel out there, that, you know, they will have better results. But I do think, you know, when you're chasing the puck a little bit more and kind of forcing it, we talked about it, right? Forcing a little bit of the play, trying to make teams, like, move the puck a little bit quicker, and maybe, you know, get more into kind of a turnover situation. So the penalty kill was, aside from, you know, the goals and, you know, how good the Jets played defensively, that has to be one of the things that stands out to you tonight, was how effective they were killing all five penalties.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, that's what the team needed. That they needed to change their approach. Now, I don't know if they've officially changed their approach, or if it was a function of today's game, or if there was a tweak made in practice yesterday, or what, because it's hard to believe that the difference between, say, Tuesday and tonight is all of a sudden going to be a worldwide difference, Dave. But the team needed it for their confidence to have a clean game when it came to being shorthanded, and they got it, and they can build on that, or they should be able to at least take some confidence about that and see if they can build on that heading into tomorrow's game. And you remember when they played Vancouver, they certainly gave up a power play goal. I remember Elias Pettersson, if I recall correctly, absolutely wiring. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. It may have ended up being the game-winning goal. Now, that was a long time ago, and I really don't have that good of a memory anymore. But Elias Pettersson definitely scored on the power play the last time the Jets and the Canucks met in Vancouver. And you know the Jets don't want to let that happen. You know that they want to have, you know, another solid effort against the Canucks team that, yes, is playing better, but you wonder, when is that going to maybe wear off? I mean, they've had the two games now under Bruce Boudreau, and, you know, eventually the adrenaline of a new coaching change wears off. And so you wonder if the Jets are going to be able to maybe... Yes, they're going to be a bit of a tired team, but it's not like the trip from Seattle to Vancouver is very far at all. But you wonder if the Jets are going to be able to avoid that sort of new coach bounce that the Canucks have been enjoying for the last couple games, Dave.
Yeah, and that's, look, we know what happens, right? You get a new coach, the players realize, well, they fired the coach. There's nothing left for the management to do other than fire us all off into the sun. So, at that point, you know, you have to start picking it up, because there's nobody left to blame, because team isn't going to fire a coach they just hired, or the new GM that they just gave a new 3-year deal to. So, you know, if you're the Jets, you have to go in there and you have to have the mentality of, look, we came in last time against, after having that game, who they played before the Canucks. Was it
It was a Calgary.
It was Calgary. It was a back to back, right? They played Calgary, yeah. Then they went to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm pretty sure that's right. So, anyways, the point
sounds right to me too.
Yeah. So you just know that. Look, I mean, they're playing better. They're playing a more structured game, but at the same time, you have to stick within the framework of what is working for you. And so you're going to have to be tight. You're going to have to be, you can't be loose. And
they weren't tonight, Dave. That's kind of, I mentioned this to you, you know, we were out, shout out to our boy Frosty. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Frosty.
Not Frosty Winnipeg in the chat.
Not Frosty Winnipeg. Our actual
maybe it's
friend.
His birthday also. Happy it birthday to be, Frosty Winnipeg.
Our good friend Matthew Frost, whose nickname is Frosty. We were out at a local watering hole tonight watching the game. And I said, like, this is,
I'll tell you one guy who didn't get an invite.
Well, hey, no, I mean, it was,
I didn't set the guest list.
It's okay.
Yeah, I didn't either. It wasn't my, you know, we love you, Drew. It wasn't about that. It was a little, I mean, there were only four seats in the restaurant. Let's put it that way.
I got a pillow over here. I'm just going to go cry into in a second. Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I said to Dave, like, I thought like a guy like Brendan Dillon had a really solid game. I realized that, you know, you don't like the penalty in the third period. I agree with what someone said, too. The reffing was a little random tonight. I mean,
how does that Ehlers? I mean, that's a textbook boarding penalty.
Oh, they were, you know what, yeah. Drew, it was Edmonton. They played.
You're right. It was Edmonton. It was the second half of the
Maria said it in the chat.
It was the second half of the home and home for between the Jets and the Oilers.
That's right.
I had a couple beers tonight, guys. Like, I have no idea. I don't remember.
Yeah, that was a 2-1 shootout loss.
That's right. But, you know, that was a textbook boarding penalty. I mean, there wasn't anything, you know, it's not like Ehlers, you know, turned at the last second.
I mean,
he hit him right in the numbers, 5 feet away from the boards.
The issue, though, is that Ehlers does have a bit of a reputation. Though. That's the point.
Give me a break, Dave. That's,
I agree with you on that.
I mean, if you're giving Connor McDavid 5 in a game for what he got, how much difference was there?
Drew, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think it was absolutely a class. I said to Ez, I'm like, how's that not boarding? The problem was, the only thing I can account for it is shitty refs or the fact that they just saw Ehlers and think maybe he's got a reputation.
I think shitty refs is the common denominator on a lot of those questions and a lot of those answers as to why didn't, you know, official X do Y. It's a tough game to officiate, and I don't like getting on the refs, but that one was pretty blatant. And, you know, when they do the evaluations, I would assume that the official in that instance will get downgraded.
Can we get on the Department of Player Safety then?
Say that again, Ezzy?
Can we get on the Department of Player Safety again then?
Well, I can spin a roulette wheel as well as anybody else can, so sure, why not?
Why doesn't Ian Cole get 2 games for that knee? Like, let's talk about that.
You know, let's talk about that after the break, because that's a good question, because he got fined for that, and I thought that was
inexplicable.
Certainly as
bad. There was a lot of money, too.
Exactly. I wonder if he's going to be able to afford the $5,000. I have a feeling
he's not paying that, but...
Well, in any event, that one was odd to me. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about tomorrow against Vancouver. We'll talk more about tonight's victory. The Jets 3-0 over Seattle in the first game between these two teams. Kraken, obviously, a new expansion team. Stay with us. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Whoa! Oh, Ezzy, why are you so happy?
I just crushed 2 fresh Bagelsmith bagels with schmear. They're open on Jets home game nights until puck drop.
Didn't you have Bagelsmith for lunch too?
Yes, I did. What's your point?
Come on, bagel boy, let's go to the game.
Bagelsmith is Winnipeg's first and only Montreal-style bagel shop located at 185 Carlton Street. Visit bagelsmith.ca.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like H-E double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at ZappiaGroup.com.
Whether it's watching the game with friends, pizza night with the family, or date night for two, this holiday season, give the gift of special occasions. Get a free $10 promo card when you buy a $50 gift card from Boston Pizza. Because nobody re-gifts pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
Alrighty, shortly before 12:15 in the morning, it's Friday morning now.
Wake up, Drew. 10th.
I'm awake. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be awake for. You did a wardrobe change, which is odd considering.
No, I just threw the fireball toucan on.
I know, it's a wardrobe change. That's what I'm saying. You got a toucan when you didn't have a toucan before. It's not like you
put pants on too.
So. That's good. That's a solid plan. It's not like you're wearing a three-piece suit or something now, but you know, a bit of a wardrobe change.
Have you ever rocked a three-piece suit? I've always wanted to.
At my wedding, I certainly did, and I have.
Was it three-piece? Yeah, it was.
It was a three-piece,
and may you be blessed with wisdom, by the way.
Yes, thank you, Ezzy. I appreciate that. My wife and I allowed Ezzy to speak at our wedding, and to Ezzy's credit, he managed to not read the typo that was on his speaking notes, and he exceeded our expectations.
Could have gone pretty poorly, but I kept it classy.
You did keep it classy, and we do
for the state of Kentucky.
I mean, and you managed. You have to go buy a new shirt, of course, for the wedding because you brought one shirt to.
Shout out to Joseph A. Bank, Drew.
Yes, it had multiple events, and Ezzy thought that he'd be able to get by with one dress shirt for 3 days, and managed to get garlic butter on the shirt in the first night. So you know,
from the potatoes, those delicious potatoes.
Yes, and you were supposed to eat them, not slop them on yourself, but. You know, lesson learned, I suppose.
I can't believe how long ago that was. That was what? Are we talking 9, 10 years ago? Are you coming up on 10 years of wedded bliss?
It's 10 years this April. Can you believe that? Can you believe that somebody was married to me for 10 years? I mean, my wife
Come
is
on,
a
Drew.
Saint.
You're supposed to say that about me.
Well, I mean, you're not married for 10 years yet. I got odds that you ain't getting that far.
Like when you get up to that stage, is it like when you're in prison and you're just checking off the like you know you do the lines and then you do the you cross it off for five? Like is that how it works? Because I'm only at four, as I mentioned.
No, I don't consider it prison. But then hopefully your wife's not watching as you reference your marriage as prison, Dave.
All right, let's move on. Holy
Diana. I'm joking. I love being married. It's great.
Yeah, Dave, you might want to edit out that last line for Ezzy Sanity. Otherwise, he's going to be on your couch for the rest of his life.
Oh boy.
In any event, tomorrow the Jets head into Vancouver, second half of the back-to-back. Ville Heinola, of course, up with the team after being recalled from the Moose. Do we see Heinola in tomorrow's game between the Jets and the Canucks?
It's hard to say.
Thank you, Ezzy.
No. I mean, like, it's hard to say just because, like, look at the situation. Like, why would you be putting him in? I mean, Nate Beaulieu, what did he play? I think he played close to 15, 16 minutes tonight. And he was out there on the penalty kill. I mean, he was breaking up plays like Dennis Bayak and Kevin Sawyer were talking about that. He was looking really sharp on the PK. He, of course, you know, is on the left side, right? So, I mean, we are humble bragging, Rob, for sure. But, yeah, I guess there is a chance that you see Ville Heinola in the lineup. I mean, that's Captain Obvious speaking. But, I mean, you know what I mean, Dave? Like, there has to always be a reason, right? Like, Paul Maurice isn't going to put Ville Heinola into the lineup just to give him an NHL game. Like, that's just not going to be the case. No. So
I agree. But, I mean, like, maybe maybe you want someone with fresh legs to get
exactly.
in.
Exactly. I wish I had a crystal ball, Drew, but like, you know what? I'm going to spin the wheel here and I'm going to say he does play tomorrow.
Wow. So that's not a Ginsburg guarantee. We're not going that far.
No.
Okay.
And
Dave, what do you think?
We know who's winning the Grey Cup. So if I have to give the Ginsburg guarantee to the Hamilton Tiger Cats, I will, because you know that, you know, if you've listened to the show over the years, you know, Drew and I were season ticket holders. I've worked for the Bombers back in the day when I was a student at Red River. So, you know who we're cheering for, you know who we are picking. But because I've obviously jinxed the New York Islanders and the Winnipeg Jets versus the Arizona Coyotes, but good kudos on the Coyotes for paying that $1.2 million in back taxes.
Dave, what do you think about Heinola for tomorrow? That was funny, Ezzy.
Almost as funny as Troy Stevens' comment. That's Ginsburg with a G. look, do I think Ville Heinola is ready to play? I do. Do I think that Paul Maurice is going to use Ville Heinola? I don't. And I know that people are like, well, why would you call him up if you weren't going to use him? Because he's an insurance policy. I mean, that's the reason why. I mean, the truth is they needed an extra defenseman. And you call him up to give him an opportunity if you need to, if you feel comfortable doing that. I mean, I was a little surprised. I thought for sure it was going to be Kovacevic because I thought that they would want someone on the right side.
I thought so too, by the way.
Based on the Logan Stanley failed experiment of 20 minutes. I mean, Paul Maurice's justification for that still left me scratching my head to move a guy who had never played a minute in the pros, not literally a minute, but like had never, as far as I could tell, started a game on the right side and say, well, we're going to try that. I'm thinking to myself, it's the NHL. Why are you trying that? Like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. But I mean, whatever. What do I know? I'm not an NHL coach. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me. So, I mean, that's what I thought. And they didn't even play Beaulieu, who could play on the right side, and moved DeMello up. That's what we all thought was going to happen. Instead, they flipped Dylan, who looked good on the right side. He looked fine in this game, at least. And so you've got, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to take Beaulieu out and put Heinola in? I mean, look, Heinola and DeMello would be a good pairing. I think that'd be an excellent pairing, to be honest with you. I don't think you'd have any issues with that. I think that would give the Jets, you know, I think DeMello's good at making that first pass. I know Heinola's good at making that first pass. So I think that, you know, they're both smart players. They're not big, but who cares? I mean, the reality is if you get the puck off your stick quick enough, then you don't have to worry about getting hit anyways. So, I mean, who knows? But I mean, history would indicate Paul Maurice won't change his lineup. So that tends to be the determining factor for me. It's not what would you do, it's what do you think the coach who's in charge of making the lineup decisions do. So that's oftentimes when people are like, well, how could you not play him? It's like, because I don't make the decisions. I'm not the one who's paid to make those decisions for the Winnipeg Jets. So ultimately, I don't think that he's going to use Ville Heinola because it wasn't a super heavy game for Beaulieu. I mean, he did play a lot on the PK, but like I said, it's not a punt on Ezzy's part to say he doesn't really know, because
I know
nobody knows. Unless Paul Maurice confirms it, then it's unknown to us as of right now. But You won't go wrong having him in the lineup. He's ready to play in the NHL, and he won't look bad playing against you know, a Vancouver team that's, they're not a big heavy team. It's not as if they're going to crush Heinola. So I think he would be fine against Vancouver. He skates well enough. It shouldn't be an issue.
Well, and guys, what's going to be really interesting, right? Because we know that, you know, the Pionk suspensions, it's over after the Vancouver game, but what's really going to be interesting is Pionk is in concussion protocol right now.
Right.
So it's not a guarantee that he's going to be back for next Tuesday's game against Buffalo. By the way, we have Marty Biron confirmed for Saturday morning show. So he's going to come on and talk to us about the Jets Sabres, because he covers the Sabres for MSG. There's a lot to talk about with that Sabres team, especially after they were absolutely lit up by Trevor Zegras and Sonny Milano on arguably the nicest goal of the year. Just incredible individual effort from both players. But I mean, you wonder, guys, like if Pionk isn't ready to go for Tuesday's game, right? Like then you kind of do wonder, like, is Ville Heinola going to be optioned on that homestand? Maybe not against Buffalo on Tuesday, but maybe against Washington on Friday, right? So then he starts to factor in. But I do agree with you, Dave, about Johnny Kovacevic. Like I thought he was kind of that quote unquote next man up, right? And you've been talking about him for the last couple of years, right? Like he's really emerged as a leader on that back end for the Moose. So yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you can't argue with, you go back, it doesn't seem like that long ago, right, guys, that we were absolutely clamoring and Jets fans were clamoring for Ville Heinola to get into the lineup on that back end. But I mean, it just wasn't happening last year. And, you know, Dave has talked about this as well. Like, aside from, you know, this last little stretch here, and when the Jets have gone with seven defensemen and 11 forwards, it's remarkable. That has to be one of the big storylines through the first 25 games of the season, is that the Jets have had the same D pairs, you know, game after game. And yeah, there have been some stinky games where the Jets defense hasn't looked as good, but tonight was one of those games. Like, you know, I thought it was kind of, you know, telling that both Logan Stanley and Dylan DeMello just had really solid, quiet defensive games, right? And they were the players that you thought might be selected by Seattle. And we know, you know, how that went with Appleton being selected, but Dylan DeMello, I thought, was just, you know, really quietly solid on the penalty kill, and same thing goes for Logan Stanley. So this was just one of those games where, yeah, there wasn't a lot going on, you know, offensively, but just, you know, our overall team effort, and the Jets deserved that win. Like there was no doubt about this one. Seattle, to me, even though they had a few, you know, dangerous chances, Drew mentioned, especially in the second period, I mean, a lot of the shots were from the outside, and, you know, the Kraken just didn't look dangerous for the most part tonight.
Well, they call him the most dangerous man on YouTube. That's Dave Manuk. He's got some Moose tickets to give away. Dave M., take it away, my friend.
I've got four Moose tickets, premium seats. I've actually got eight.
Quattro.
To give away, because I've got four for Friday and I've got four for Saturday. Section 118. So where I sit, you are looking right across at me, except your seats are going to be right behind the Grand Rapids bench. So you get to watch. It's kind of cool. Like, it's what an interesting perspective. You're basically watching the bench, and I wouldn't probably want to sit there every game, but I think it's pretty neat to be able to get that sort of perspective once in a while. So I've got an opportunity for someone. The Grand Rapids Griffins are in town, take on the Manitoba Moose. Manitoba Moose, of course, who lost their first game in four after winning four in a row. They beat Belleville over last weekend, both games. And then last night in Laval, they fell 3-2. The comeback fell short. Jeff Mallott scored his sixth goal of the season. Nice goal on the power play. And then David Gustafson also scored his sixth goal of the season. He scored with the extra, with the net empty for Manitoba as they were down 3-1. He made it 3-2, but that was as close as they would come. They fell short. So the Moose are still continuing to roll. They're comfortably in second spot in that central division. A lot of fun to watch, even without, you know, Cole Perfetti, who is now at the selection camp for Team Canada in Calgary, I believe. So he's in Alberta. He will not be available probably for about a month, with the expectation Canada is going to be going for gold. So you'll know Cole Perfetti, but still no lack of players to watch, because even though Ville Heinola got called up, you still had, I think they went 11-7 in the last game. So you still had remarkably six draft picks of the Winnipeg Jets, five of whom would be prospects in Declan Chisholm and Leon Gavanke. The 2018 and 2017 fifth rounders were rolling again. They set up Gustafson. They're offensively minded, those two. So Gavanke too, actually a right D, he's having a bounce back here. He's, forget about the points. His points have been good, but yeah, Tico Napoli knows what we're talking about. But
did this turn into a Manuk Moose Minute? I just wanted you to give away tickets.
It did. I just want to give a quick one because I don't want to ignore what happened.
Sometimes, Drew, you don't know when that Manuk Moose Minute is coming. Like, sometimes it's unexpected.
I do know that it's 12:25 in the morning.
Yeah, that's okay. I've still got lots of work to do, but it's never too much time to give the people what they want, which is some Moose talk. And I was going to keep it short, Drew. So I was going to, Rob knows what's happening. So the truth is, you get to watch a lot of prospects.
Time is just a construct, Drew, right?
That's exactly right, Desi. Good man. So the reality is
time and gender.
By the way, AK, this is a good question by AK. I'm going to put it up on the thing. I usually listen to, what happened there, Drew? Stop doing that. I usually listen to the podcast version. Does Dave actually wear antlers? AK, I'm not currently wearing antlers.
Put on the antlers. If you're going to talk about the moose like this, you got to put on the antlers.
All right, one second. I won't be adverse to giving the antlers a little, there we go. Woo. Anywho. So
you guys remember, do you guys remember when I was in that moose promo video back in like 2009 wearing the antlers?
No. This is the first I've heard
Ezzy, of it. Ezzy, that is
this the first when I was a student at Red River and I was like,
this is the first I've heard of it. I was but in I'm the crowd. To find
like, you know,
I'm
when they, need... you know, when the, yeah.
Oh, you don't think
it's somewhere, it's somewhere on YouTube, but basically like Colin I was a guy cheering. I was like cheering guy and I was wearing moose antlers.
Dave, you're going to need to get that from our friends at the
moose. I was going to say, I'm going to be talking to my boy Colin Peterson.
It was 2008, 2009, something like that.
Tico Napoli is asking if they're gone, if he's gone to Germany.
Is he eligible for the world?
No, for the
Olympics.
Old. No, he's too old. He'll be eligible for the Germans for the Olympics though, but not for the World Juniors. He's too old.
Oh, but 22.
Anyway, go back to the tickets.
Yes. So tickets. So if you do want to, sorry, reading another chat.
Remember those tickets that Drew talked about 5 minutes ago?
Those aforementioned tickets. So I've got 4 premium tickets. If you want them, you can have them. You can have 2. You can have 4. You can have 1. I don't really care. Doesn't matter.
But they have to come to your house right now at 12:27 in the morning in River Heights to get
you at my house is enough, Ezzy. I'm not going to ask for more. We're going to keep the party of a party of 1.
So let's do a skill testing question then, Dave.
No.
No skill testing question.
Just email Dave. Dave at illegalcurve.com.
Don't try and take this over. Yeah, this Drew. Not a Mendel
hush
minute.
Up, hush up, Drew.
So the truth is, but we do have a requirement. Ezzy was giving me some incentive. So drop a comment on our YouTube channel in the chat, which we appreciate, which we enjoy, but actually on the video. That also helps when people see that there's a conversation going. So talk about the moose, talk about the show, whatever you want, but that helps too. So one of the requirements be just make a good comment. And if you want the moose tickets, leave that in the comment. And I'll take a note of who puts those in the comments, or you can send me an email, dave@illegalcurve.com, or you can send me a message on Twitter @ICDave. And I will see who I can hook up with 4 premium tickets. And for the record, we'll have 4 more to give away for Saturday.
There you go, Dave M. The crazy Manuk's tickets got to go. So be sure to get in touch with Dave M. if you want to go to the Moose game. Ezzy, Tough Duck, hardest hitting comment of the night. Give her.
Yeah, I've got it queued up here. It was from Christian W. at 12:01 a.m. So that was, about 27 minutes ago. The comment was, when we were talking about the penalty kill, the PK was more aggressive. Space and time was resulting in too many goals against on the PK. Maurice learned something from Rod Brind'Amour the other night. I agree. Rod Brind'Amour, I think, is the best coach. That was one of the predictions I got right. If you guys remember, last year I picked Rod Brind'Amour for coach of the year, and of course he won. So Christian W., send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, and Tough Duck will ship you out a nice toque. This one I'm wearing is not Tough Duck. This is from Fireball, the good folks at Seagram's. But yeah, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, and you have won the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment.
Congratulations to Christian W. Congratulations to whomever gets in touch with Dave to grab the Moose tickets for this coming weekend. That's it for us on this Friday morning. Now we'll be back in less than 24 hours. We'll be back in about 23 hours after the Jets and the Vancouver Canucks. So be sure to join us following tonight's game. Got to make sure I get my days and nights all accurate. Join us after tonight's game between the Jets and the Canucks for the IC post-game show. And again, join us tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, 9 a.m. for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show back here on our YouTube channel. If you haven't yet subscribed, be sure to do that. If you haven't yet smashed the like button, be sure to do that. Subscribe to the podcast as well. That way you get alerted. You won't miss an episode. And as well, subscribe to the YouTube channel. That way you won't miss an episode of our post-game show and the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Big thank you to all of our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zapier Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and our newest sponsor, Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. If you want to keep the hockey talk going, Hustler and Ken Weeb are filling the post-game show duties tonight, so you can check them out over at the Kenny and Rennie YouTube page. For Mr. Ginsburg, for Mr. Manuk, I am Drew Mandel. Until 23 hours from now, we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.